Back together again, Tuesday style. Yep, chatting it up, July the 14th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. How about those home prices? What can we do about rising home prices in the state? And are too many people being priced out of the market and out of the state? That was the prime topic on the show. We also welcomed later on Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio as well for her Tuesday update. Yeah, here's something we talk about a lot on this program. And hey, how are you? Good afternoon, 208-203-333. 942-2333-WICC. What have we been talking about here a lot on the program regarding, and I put it in the kind of the when is it going to end category. And again, home prices here, and we talk about affordable housing in this state so much and in cities and towns and the 830G law and what to do and what not to do and what people are doing, selling their homes, deciding how to price it. Did you see this story today? In Hearst, Alexander Soule's story. Now, again, this is what I mean by we can talk a good game on this. We can talk a good game about affordable housing, about wanting people, young people, to be able to afford to stay here in Connecticut, to live here in Connecticut, to have families here in Connecticut, whatever. And then you see this. Connecticut home prices jump 6.6% as buyers pay above the asking price. They're paying above the asking price. And what do I say all the time? Everybody can talk a good game when it comes to home prices, but if you can get more than your asking price, guess what, Maude? Guess what there, George? You're going to get that money. You're going to take the cash. And there's nothing wrong with that. Connecticut continues to outpace much of the U.S. for home prices, trending upward with a Redfin assessment, finding prices are at an all-time high for U.S. transactions in June. Now, the median price, and the median is not an average. Median is that mark in the middle. So half of the prices are cheaper below that mark. Half of the prices are more expensive. They're above that mark. The median U.S. home sale price within recent memory was $409,000 in June, up 2.2% from 12 months earlier for a new record, eclipsing the record in May of just under $400,000. But in Connecticut, according to Berkshire Hathaway's Home Services New England Properties report, I know it's a lot, but we have to say where it comes from. Connecticut's median home sale price, you ready for this? $485,000. Tickling $500,000. How about that? Now that reflects, it says here, both larger homes being listed for sale as well as, yes, buyer competition for listings. Berkshire Hathaway reporting a 4.1% premium on average above the final listed prices. Once again, Connecticut home prices up 6.6% in the recent reports, tickling nearly $485,000. How is that possible? I know how it's possible. House A is on the market. House B is on the market. People choose between A and B. They ask, hey, what's the price? The agent or the seller or the developer says, it's this. People think about it. They say, we give you this. The agent or the developer or the homeowner says, no, we want this. In fact, we're going to hold out for above the listed price. And somebody eventually pays it. So how do we reconcile this? Big word, I know, lots of syllables. But when you think about it, how do we reconcile all this? 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And again, I'm a very, 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 very big free market guy. I am. Now, I know there has to be some government regulation. There's got to be some aspect of anti-discrimination laws. That's not really what we're talking about here. But what we're talking about here, I think, is the notion that we can talk a really good game, but when is this all going to stop? And I'm not saying every person out there, every home seller, every real estate agent, every developer should not get every single red cent that they can for their property. No, I'm not saying that. But when does it end? That's what we're going to start with for our question of the day. 203-333-9422. 333-WICC. Now, the answer to that may be never. I mean, what is cheaper today? And I'm sure you could find some things. I get maybe some home electronics. Big televisions, big flat screens now are a lot cheaper than they used to be. So there are some things that actually do get cheaper as the years go on. But a lot of things don't. You could probably count on two hands the mass marketed stuff that is cheaper today than it was 15, 20, 30 years ago. So nothing is perfect in that sort of scenario. But having said that, when does it all end? Now, again, Connecticut's a very exclusive area compared to some other parts of the nation. But the state's home prices have jumped now. Median home prices. Median, meaning it's in the middle. You can find something a lot cheaper, and you can find something a lot more expensive. Expensive. Don't forget the X, Paul. Expensive. The median price, though, in Connecticut, $485,000, with many selling for above the asking price. So where and when does this end? In this notion of affordable housing, and we need affordable houses. And I get it. A person's or a family's first home is probably a starter home, although starter homes today are even a couple, $300,000. People pay it as much as they can, then they move on, and they maybe flip the house and sell it for a profit and move on. They pocket that money. That becomes a seed for their retirement fund and all that. But having said that, when does this all end? When do you think, and does it end? So if we're talking here, God willing, 5, 6, 7 years from now on this program, let's say we're talking on, Tuesday, July 14th, 2033, what's the median price going to be then? $600,000? $550,000? $700,000? You tell me. We're up and underway with that. 203-333-9422-333-WICC. Connecticut home prices now jumping another 6.6%. The median home price, median now, not the average, the median home price, $485,000. Where and when does that ever end? $485,000. That's tickling in my neighborhood about $500,000. What is that, Paul? That is the median price, not the average. That's different. Average is when you lop everything together. And, of course, you divide that by how many things you lop together. Median is the middle marking. If, in other words, if you have, let's say you have, 100 home prices, and you add them all together, well, then you want to find the one that is right in the middle. You don't really add them together. I misspoke there. What you do is you end up finding the one that's right plop in the middle. So the median home price of $485,000 would mean there's an equal amount of home prices cheaper right below it and an equal amount of home prices more expensive right above it. So think of it as the fulcrum on a wheel. I guess that's, and then if you did 180 degrees left to right, half on the top, half on the bottom. You see what I'm saying? For median, right? But the Connecticut median home prices have jumped 6.6% now to a median of $485,000. Many of the homes selling above asking price. Where and when does this all end? And the reason I ask this is, doesn't this feed into the whole affordable housing situation? And again, this is one of those things that I don't try to be, I'm right and you're wrong, but it's not going to end. Because the general propensity of people, it doesn't make them bad people. If somebody, if we put a dime on the table and somebody says, hey, I'll buy that from you for 11 cents, and they give you a dime back and a penny on top of it, and you could make that 1 cent profit, you'll do it. Connecticut home prices up, the median home price now $485,000. Redfin said continuing buyer demand is driving up prices with too few listings to hold prices in check, particularly in southern Florida, right? No thank you. Hot and sticky down there. The San Francisco area, great place. Loved San Francisco. I was there twice, a week at a time. I think once back in 89 and once in 90. But, nah, it's going to break off into the sea one of these days. And the Pittsburgh area. Metropolitan New York City prices up 7.6%. Year over year in June from a year earlier. Stanford-based William Pitt Sotheby's International reporting a similar dynamic continues in Connecticut. Paul, I believe it's Broinick, in his own firm's report on Connecticut real estate, our markets are challenged by an ongoing lack of inventory amid a backdrop of heightened buyer demand, enabling those hometowners who've listed their properties to earn multiple buyer bids. Man, oh man. So does that mean that does that ever mean we're going to solve the, I'm doing my air quotes now, unless you're watching on the video stream. Hi, how are you? We're live, of course, on Twitch, twitch.tv, live on YouTube as well. So let me do my air quotes for all the folks watching on the video. Hi, how are you? I didn't shave today, I know. Forgive me. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. And if you don't mind telling us, either via a text at 333-9422, either via a text or on the phone here, have you recently sold, say, an old family home that maybe you have been in since you were born, maybe in Fairfield County, maybe in the hot markets, Norwalk, Stamford, Greenwich, Darien, Milford. Milford continues to be an uber hot market here. And were you offered like some just crazy amount of money for your house, and you sat back and you said, after you said you would take it, and let's sign the papers, and you're high-fiving your wife or your husband or somebody, you're sitting there and you're saying, man, mom and dad, now in different times or whatever, they paid 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 grand for this house. And we just got 700 grand for it, or 800 grand for it. Have you been fortunate enough to do that? And is that part of the American dream? Now, again, having said that, for everybody who makes out that way, there are going to be some maybe first or maybe second-time home buyers that are not going to be that fortunate. And again, I'm not asking you to blame yourself for anything. No, heck no, it's your property. Like one of my old bosses said, everything I have, everything in my possession, he said, except with the exception of my wife and kids, is for sale. My first general manager in radio said, yeah, make me an offer. Go ahead, make me an offer. I'll tell you if I tell it, don't bother offering me anything on my wife or kids. I love them. They're not for sale. He used to say, yet. Traffic and weather together right here, right now, WICC. It's that time of the week, 5 o'clock hour. On Tuesday, Megan Portfolio, she of the Hartford Portfolio blog at the Yankee Institute, and I hear that she is fully armed, locked and loaded with a fly swatter on her deck. Well, not a happy person right now. Ms. Portfolio, is that true?
Already, you ratted me out.
Well, you know, people want to know about you. So wait a minute now. What's the situation at Casa de Megan right here? What's going on?
There is a fly that, so I like to work out on my porch in the summer. Yeah. It's just nice to write in the outside.
Yeah.
And this fly will not leave me alone.
Okay.
So I had to get the fly swatter, which the fly's still there. I managed to electrocute myself.
Wait
and
a
there's
minute.
So much moisture in the air. Yeah, I know. It hurts.
Wait a minute. What did you do? Did your finger hit the plug that it shouldn't have on something?
No, I think I was just getting frustrated with the fly that I don't know. I was trying to be all cool looking and I hit it with my hand, but then I shocked myself. So yeah, I wasn't very cool.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Shocked yourself on what?
On the racket, on the electric fly swatter.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do it. Don't do that. No.
Yeah, so see, your listeners, don't do it.
All right. Speaking of don't do it, let's segue here. Now, Aaron's Law, which I think we've discussed before, but it's interesting that according to reports today, she has started to pay back a little of the CEP money, and New Britain is looking for more of its money from the P card. And now over the past few weeks, we've seen that there have been more tightening of the rules in some state agencies. But you still think, and the last time we talked about this, you were getting support on this for this so-called Aaron's Law to try and get a hold on this and also to give people more of a required look as to how some of this P-card spending is going.
Yeah, so at Yankee Institute, we don't just like to throw rocks at the government and point out all the bad things. We try to come up with some solutions so that we don't have to go through the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So we talked, I think last week or the week before, it's called the Expenditure Records and Information Notification Act.
Uh-huh.
I know, but it's a lot of words.
Yeah.
In other words, Aaron.
Yeah.
So we had noticed possible level. Yes, there is the Aaron Stewart situation that kind of blew up. It's actually probably the biggest one I've ever seen in following Connecticut politics.
Yeah.
But they're not alone. There's been recent issues in Fairfield.
Mm-hmm.
An employee was just fired in New Haven for misuse of his P card. So what we want to do is try to incorporate what I was saying at the state level, have a transparent system at the municipal level.
Sure.
Now, look, I am super hypersensitive when it comes to unfunded mandates. They drive me nuts. I'm a homeowner in Middletown. Every time I hear something from Hartford that's an unfunded mandate, I just know my property taxes are going to go up. So we're not trying to tell the municipalities to create a system or have a program. Or no, we want the state to be able to manage this. So at the municipal level, they have P cards. They get statements just like you
sure.
and I.
Yeah. But,
and so they get the statements. We're just asking through the legislature to, you know, enact the Aaron's Act so the municipalities can forward that information on the state and then the state can manage it. So I can go in either as a taxpayer or as an investigative journalist. I can go in and look, hey, Middletown, here's the P card transactions. Here's the vendor. Here's the purpose. Because, I mean, what we don't want to happen is I don't want to have someone say, hey, look, there's 7,000 receipts from the Home Depot. That doesn't mean that's a suspicious, you know, transaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why we want to see, like, what's the purpose? Is it for, you know, supplies to fix something or any gas, like, oh, gas for the city truck,
yeah.
you know, something like that. But just an easy way we can go into a portal and see this. And I know the state has a lot of this information already. And for them to just expand it to the municipalities where all they would have to do is literally just upload it, I think that'd be a huge help to not only the taxpayers, but the journalists. You know, I have FOIA in Middletown. I've been waiting over a year. All I'm looking for is the ledger of their spending. I wasn't even asking for someone's specific P card.
Yeah.
I just need you to go into whatever software you use, your QuickBooks, if you will, print out your transactions for the past year and email it to me. I can't even get them to call me back. And I report on the news, so I can't even imagine what a regular citizen, you know, the time they have to wait to get this information.
Mm.
And think about it. Like, look at a New Britain. All of these issues could have been picked up
Oh, you think?
In real time, instead of after the fact, because audits are great, but the audits only look at what happened in the past.
Sure. And
it could be years ago.
And you know what would have happened if this was, you know, in place, like you say, for example, in New Britain, somebody, right, Megan, somebody would have said something to some reporter somewhere. You know how this works. I know how this works. Hey, you met, because everybody, you know, reporters have contacts in city halls and in town. And somebody may say, hey, you didn't hear me from this, but go.
Well, we shouldn't have to wait for
it's
to be a whistleblower. You have, especially in government, you have to be really brave.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they could come after you. You could lose your job.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing like, sometimes like in, you know, your union can't protect you from everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so for someone to like step up and point out, you know, wrongdoings in the government, I mean, that person's got, you know, chutzpah. They're brave individuals, but we can't rely on a whistleblower because that isn't always the case.
Mm-hmm.
Having this be real time, it could actually save the towns because it's, I think, cost over $100,000 already in New Britain just to deal with this. If it could have been up in real time, they wouldn't have had to have this whole auditing. You know, they could have made, you know, the discipline, you know, necessary at the time instead of costing the taxpayers paid the bill. Mm-hmm. Now they have to pay to research the bill. And that's BS.
We start with a new legislative session coming up in January in a few months already in 2027. Odds this may fly. Have you been getting some favorable feedback about this tentative Aaron's Law? What are people saying to you, if anything?
I personally have received a couple lawmakers had reached out to me. You know, they're out campaigning right now, so they don't have a lot of time to write laws. But I do have a few lawmakers that have reached out to me and said they are interested in talking to us about this, you know, next year. And it's very exciting because, you know, and on the municipal end, this could actually save not only the taxpayers, but those guys as well, because it takes a lot of time to do FOIAs.
Yeah.
So with all of this P-card nonsense that's been going on, that's been getting unearthed, you know, everyone's FOIAing right now. I bet you like Hartford, New Haven, and the big municipalities are getting inundated. And that you know, you could free up a lot of your staff time with dealing with those kind of FOIAs. Mm-hmm. And just because the public can just go and look it up themselves.
Check it out, folks. An essay about Aaron's Law.
Oh, no, I don't steal taxpayer dollars.
No,
I just have it stolen from me.
But again, you highlight it. So check it out, yankeeinstitute.org, the Yankee Institute for Public Policy, and the Hartford Portfolio blog, Megan Portfolio, looking at something that would be called Aaron's Law, opening up P-card practices where just regular folks can maybe log on and see what is going on. Once again, Megan Portfolio, all thanks. Meg, have a great week, and we'll talk down the road. Thank you.
All right, Paul. Thank you. Bye.
All right, and please don't electrocute yourself again on the Bug Zapper. Okay.